After 40 years of hard work, a man retired with $5 million. $5 million, which he'd gained through courage, diligence, initiative, skill, devotion to duty, thrift, efficiency, shrewd investment, and the death of an uncle who left him $4,999,950. Mahatma Gandhi said this: "It is easy to stand in the crowd, but it takes courage to stand alone." COVID-19 said, "It's easy to stand alone, but it takes courage to stand in a crowd." And so as we focus our attention this morning on courage and this whole idea of what God bolsters Joshua up with in terms of being strong and courageous, we first want to settle a little bit more on this verse 5, where Jesus talks about, God talks about never leaving or forsaking Joshua. We see here, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. We kind of looked at that: as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. We kind of look at that, but I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, you can't pass a scripture like that too quickly in terms of all that means for us. I mean, what could be better than that? You know, when we recognize the value of relationship, you know, the fact that we are made social beings, God made us like that. He made us to be dependent on others. Who can't speak of the idea of someone being by your side as you're going through something or you're trying to accomplish a project, and there's someone you can call, there's someone, again, that's with you, there's someone sharing the load. To recognize the God of the universe says this to us, that this is not just a promise to Joshua, this is also a promise to us. And I think it's one of the more significant things that God promises us in terms of our lives. It is actually repeated and mentioned other places in terms of just the Bible reinforcing this idea. Again, going beyond just Joshua and the situation that is here, what it says other places. I would ask you just to bring up just the Matthew 28:20b verse. But first, talk about Matthew 18:20. That's that passage of scripture that talks about, actually, it's church discipline. But the verse is the fact that where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. I like to mention that verse comes in the context of confronting people and working through issues, even to the point that it becomes part of, you know, the church becoming involved in an offense that might happen between individuals. Jesus promises in that context, where two or three are gathered, there I am in your midst. So again, a promise to be there. And then the more powerful one is Matthew 28:20b here, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, maybe even more significant in the fact that we are in some ways facing the end of the age or becoming more aware of the times we're in terms of things ramping down in terms, ramping up in terms of evil, so down, and just the glory of God and what God would call us to in the presence of the opposition we might face or the challenges that will be for us, to recognize Jesus says, I'm going to be with you always. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. And then in Hebrews 13:5, it actually repeats this promise. I mean, there's several times in Scripture that these very words are shared: be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, as well as I'll never leave you or forsake you. But it's interesting. Oh, you brought it up here. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So again, reinforcing this, but this is in some ways just repeating what we have here in Joshua. When it says God has said this, well, when did he say it? One of the prominent places he says it, as Joshua is standing outside the promised land, leading the people in. But to see that in that context in Hebrews 13:5, it's talking about contentment. It's talking about being free of the love of money. It's talking about being less materialistic. Why? Because I'll never leave you or forsake you. In other words, all those things that you're bringing in your life to compensate for your emptiness, you don't need it. You don't need to run after things like the world run after things, because that's all they know. That's the only thing that can satisfy. That's the only thing that can fill. And so what God is telling us is a reality that I will never leave you or forsake you should be the thing that compensates. It should be the thing that satisfies. It really is enough. I think in some ways God is trying to bring all of us to recognize that His presence with us is enough. Everything else is icing on the cake. Everything else is just the frills of God's blessing. Everything else is not necessity. The only necessity we have is the fact that God will never leave us or forsake us. To be able to bank on that, to be able to be confident of that, you know, I would even say that in terms of what we would know about what God will orchestrate around our lives, it's really the only thing that we can count on. Like, in other words, to really know that God is going to bless and provide and heal and work in a certain way, yeah, God can do that. God can overcome. God can be the answer to that prayer in terms of, here's my need. I need to intervene. And sometimes God intervenes in power. But you can also find justification in Scripture where God is going to allow you to suffer. He's going to have times in your life where, in terms of whether it's your spiritual growth, just the free will of other people, just the glory of God and the gospel, maybe God won't resolve that thing in the way that we might expect Him to. But what God always assures us of is, I am with you. There's never a point in time in your life where you could look to God and say, God, are you with me? Can I count on you to be present? That He would say no. That's always true. And then maybe even particularly when we think about the voices that come in our head that try to tell us just the opposite. God's not with you. He's not present. He doesn't love you. He doesn't accept you. You're not right with Him. All those voices, again, it's this verse, it's this concept, it's this idea, it's the faith that we have in that that assures us in the context of that deceit, you know, that opposition to that truth. And you know, there is an aspect of us growing in God to the point where that matters. Growing in God to the point where that matters. You know, because if you are, see, if what matters is the stuff of life, if what matters is the things I own, the person I am, the position I hold, the clothes I wear, the house I live in, if all that is what matters, basically what is in your heart is tied to those things. And so therefore, whenever something comes in that threatens that, see, all those are finite. And so something comes in and threatens that, oh, wait a minute, I can't lose that because that really matters. See, part of what God wants is to grow in assuring and gaining assurance from the idea that He's never going to leave us or forsake us is the fact that that is infinite. That's eternal. That's something He's going to guarantee. And so when now everything else doesn't matter, and the only thing that does matter is, God, you're with me, then that's where God is trying to bring us. That's maturing in the Christian life. So now all the things I do is based in the fact that, God, you're with me. So now you have a purpose. Now you have a plan. Now you have something for me to do. And so now as I'm doing it, I can be strong and courageous because you are with me. And so as God, you know, communicates all these things to Joshua, it's kind of interesting in terms of all the things that he affirms in these first five verses, but then very much he goes from there to say, now, Joshua, it's going to be your choice to be strong and courageous. Yeah, I mean, this is lesson four? Yeah, lesson four? That it has to be because it's up there, right? So the three are, remember, reality check, that was the first lesson. The second lesson was the promise and the plan that God sets forth. Lesson three is, again, that I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. So lesson four is, again, this be strong and courageous. As if you notice the first slide, it says, you know, what I'm titling this message is, as God prepares a leader, he prepares us for life. So all the things that he's communicating to Joshua are very useful to us, but we have to understand is as God is kind of moving ahead in what he's communicating to Joshua, saying, okay, here's all these things that I've promised you. Here are all the things I've communicated. Now be strong and courageous. See, it goes from encouragement to command. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Or that's part of God's economy, certainly. God never says, I have given you great things. I say all things about them. So sit there and do nothing. Sorry, that is not the economy of God. The economy of God is there's work to do. There's peace to be saved. There's good to be fostered in terms of what role you have in your life, what role you have in the world. And so therefore, be strong and courageous because of all the things that I have said. See, it is based in what God has promised, but the choice is going to be his. Us being strong and courageous is based in God's promise, but the choice is yours. And this is not the first time Joshua has heard this. I mean, if you just flip over a couple pages, if you're still bringing your Bible to church, Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8 says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. This is Moses communicating to Joshua, by the way. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israelites. Now this is, he says it personally to Joshua there, then brings him before the congregation of Israel. Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So isn't it interesting that that Moses communicated this to Joshua, knowing the very things that Moses went through with this people, knowing very well what God had provided for Moses, now he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. But now here we have God communicating it to him. See, it's one thing for Moses to communicate to Joshua, hey, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. God's going to be with you. Very much different for God to say, hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm never going to leave you forsake you. Be strong and courageous. You know, there is assurance just in the idea that if God commands something, he's going to equip us in the midst of that. So what does strong and courageous mean to you? That's a pretty good picture, right? Doesn't strong, you know, don't you think of Superman? Don't you think I, you know, leap tall buildings or in a single bound and, you know, stop a laser? I don't know what those, I was never a big Superman fan. But anyway, you know, that's kind of the picture of strong and courageous, right? I don't know that I would not necessarily want you to have that vision in your head as you think about God calling you to be strong and courageous in the context of what's going on in your life. See, again, this is not like, oh, isn't that a great lesson communicated thousands of years ago? Wasn't it so nice for Joshua to be hearing this? No, you need to be strong and courageous every day of your life. That there are things that are coming against you. There are things that you're operating in. There are things that you're confronting that the very need of your life, the very need of your heart is to be strong and courageous. And to recognize that the difference that is in you and in circumstance, if you're not strong and courageous, is radically different. I would say if you find yourself not being strong and courageous, that's an opportunity for you to come before God and say, God, what do I need to do to be more strong and courageous? If you're commanding me to do this, if you're equipping me to, like, how do I get there in terms of being built up? I like this definition that comes from Webster's in terms of just what strong, well, it's more the courageous part that has to do with. So he defines it as mettle, resolution, mental or moral strength to resist opposition, danger, or hardship. Courage implies firmness of mind and will in the face of danger or extreme difficulty. See, maybe one way to think of it is that the strength is the ability to do something. The courage is the will to do something. Like, God may equip us to do something in strength, but if we don't have the courage to do it, then it's not gonna happen. So it's both of those dynamics coming together and being strong and courageous. I like what 2 Chronicles 32, verses 7 and 8, and I'm just going to read it here. This is the context of the Assyrians coming against Jerusalem. I just like what the Bible says in terms of just describing the aspect of what strong and courageous means, really. So it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a great power with us, there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles." And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. Now, you know that I had to bring this up if you're following the Bible reading on the website, because we know in the book of Isaiah where we're reading, we saw the prophet's side of this situation. We see the prophet's perspective of Isaiah calling Hezekiah, calling the people, don't rely on Egypt. That they're not your answer in terms of facing the Assyrians. You believe in God. But do you see how that strong and courageous, by definition, has to do with setting aside fear? But that idea of strong and courageous, it is by definition dealing with something that is potentially overwhelming. See, I think for us as believers to understand that every initiative good, every initiative godliness has opposition. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, whatever you would do in your Christian life to build you up in Christ, to be a good parent, to be a good worker, to share the gospel, all those good initiatives that God would have you bring, there is going to be opposition. And so being strong and courageous, just in terms of what is the definition of it, is moving forward in the thing that God wants in spite of the opposition. Like, don't expect that the things you want to do for Christ are going to go on without you being strong and courageous. Like, don't be, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this is hard. I can't believe that, even thinking about dealing with our own souls. You know, I like the mental aspect of this, you know, that is shared in the Webster Dictionary, because it really is about what's going on in our head. Like, what are you believing about yourself? What are you believing about God? Like, do you recognize that the power you have, the God that is on your side, is greater than what you're seeing? I mean, understand, when Hezekiah is giving this message, Isaiah is giving this message, there's literally hundreds of thousands of soldiers outside of the Jerusalem, and the leader of Assyria's army is taunting Hezekiah, taunting the people, saying, "Don't believe Hezekiah. You can't trust in Egypt. You can't trust in the God that he's talking about." And yet, what does God call us to do in the presence of that detraction, in the presence of that opposition? Be strong and courageous. Hold to your guns. Hold to your truth. Hold to the mission. Hold to what God is calling you to do. And so again, that's a lot of what strong and courageous means to you. Who knows how far we'll get to this, but sometimes God really makes a good outline for messages. You know, and it's right here in this passage. Because basically what we have first is, again, we looked at the what. Well, again, what, just defining strong and courageous in terms of what it means for us. But then the next thing that the passage talks about, and what's at lesson 5, is the why. So in other words, lesson 4 was the command to be strong and courageous. Lesson 5 is the why, and is found here right in verse 6. And so it is, and we have to deal with the why first, because it's the next verse. So it says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. So in other words, you have to be strong and courageous because there's a job to do. Because there's something that has to be initiated. There's something that has to be accomplished. There's something that has to be overcome. And so in some ways, the first reason why God would call us to be strong and courageous is because God wants to have influence in the world, and you're the agent. You're the ambassador. He wants to save people. You know, where did I have it? Yeah, it's right there. So I'll get to that. I thought, yeah, okay. Like, you're the, like, he could have done it another way. That's what we have to understand. See, what do I hear? Because there's a job to do, and I'm giving you the privilege and the responsibility to participate with me to get it done. And he doesn't need you. Like, this is just the way God orchestrated his plan. God knows that he is strong and courageous. God knows that he can accomplish anything he wants in terms of accomplishing his plan. But what he says is, I'm going to call a people to me. I'm going to be incarnationally involved in their lives. I'm going to empower them. I'm going to instruct them. I'm going to inform their thoughts. But then because of all that, he says, as you engage in the situations, you have to be strong and courageous. Like, don't back down. Don't get afraid. Don't get terrified. Meet the opposition with the truth of God and walk forward in what God would have you to do. So again, the whys are because there's a job to do, and you're the one, if God is calling you, then you're the one to do it. And then the second point is because people need you. Like, there are people watching you. There are people all around you, particularly those that are closest to you, that are wondering, are you going to be strong and courageous? Now, I understand that that's a big burden. I understand you're a mom, you're a dad, you're an employer, you're the pastor. You're like, you've got someone. Now, all these people are relying on you to do it right. And part of the why that God points Joshua to is you need to be strong and courageous because the people need you to be strong and courageous. If you're the head, if you're the leader, you're the authority, you have people looking at you, and they're expecting you to be strong and courageous. And to know as a believer who is engaging with these things with the power and influence of God, you always have to be dependent on him to make that happen. You know, sometimes when I'm in situations, do you notice perfect storms in your life? Did you notice that sometimes it's a perfect storm of good? Like, oh, well, like this, I got this phone call, and this is good thing is going to happen. And, oh, but this phone call, it happens, and this good thing is going to happen. Isn't it great when that happens? What about the perfect storm of pressure or responsibility or opposition or things like, I just start laughing. Like when it gets to be 4, 5, 6, you know, sometimes in the presence of that, you know, I might get something like, Pastor, do you want me to throw out the garbage? Like, really? like, can't, I'm sorry. But in other words, sometimes you're dealing with all these things, and then, like, there's some that comes along, like, really? I need to decide about that? But you have that in your life? The point I'm trying to make is, regardless of how many things are piled on top, we still have to be strong and courageous. We still have to recognize that, God, you're not going to give me anything I can't handle. Now, that's I'm not going to be giving me anything I can't handle in your power. It's not, God will absolutely give you things you can't handle outside of his power, and he'll give that to you so you'll recognize you need his power. But whatever it is, again, if you're the guy, if you're the gal, if you're the person that people are looking towards, you just keep being strong and courageous and keep pressing into God. Because you not being strong and courageous is going to have a lot of implications. in terms of what people are looking for you to be, the influence you have in their life, the stability you bring to an environment. I mean, do you realize as a parent, particularly of young children, the most important thing you offer them, well, besides godliness in Christ, is a predictable environment, is safety, is knowing that when they come home, this is what's happening, that I'm loved and the people around me love and we resolve conflict healthily, you know, and we're involved with good things. And so it's not like, okay, what mood is mom going to be in today? What mood is dad going to be in today? Or what kind of day did my dad have? And now because he had a certain day, it means bleh. Anyone live in a house like that? Grow up in? I mean, we have some bad examples of leaders not being strong and courageous. But in other words, what we offer those around us, again, if you're the head person, people are looking at you and they need you to be strong and courageous. Let me say this though, if you're under authority, if you're, you know, part of supporting the leadership, you need to be so strong and courageous too. Because ultimately, if you're not strong and courageous now, people around you have to build you up in the context of that. Now understand, if you're weak, you're vulnerable, you're in a place where you have need, that's fine. This is not, I'm strong and courageous, and I'm really not. My life is falling apart, and I'm strong and courageous, but I'm just telling you that I don't really feel that. Now, I think there is a place where my life is falling apart, all the things are going wrong, I'm choosing to be strong and courageous, and that is true. Because again, I'm undergirded by the things of God, not the circumstances of life. But I'm not talking about declaring being strong and courageous when not. There's no shame in the Christian life to say, I've been overcome by sin. I blew it. I did it wrong. If I was strong and courageous, I would have done this, but I wasn't strong and courageous, and I didn't do that. Forgiveness, mercy, compassion, let me come alongside you. But there is an aspect when you're part of the system that, but now let's grow. Let's grow and become strong and courageous. So that now, not only are you, like, no longer are you the person that needs help, you're a person that's helping someone else. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to work. So just understand that, yes, there's a greatest responsibility for those that kind of are in charge, if you will, to be strong and courageous. But you know, some kids, be strong and courageous. Because if you're not strong and courageous, what do your parents need? They always have to come rescue you. Always have to take what they're doing and do it for you. Now, when you're 8, that's fine. If you're 22... That's no comment about my parenting situation with 20-somethings. But but you get my point? Like, in other words, we need to be strong and courageous. Again, why? Because there's a job to do. Then we also have to be strong and courageous because people need us to be strong and courageous. I mean, don't you see it there? Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Can we get to the what? Okay, so we had the command, we have the why. Verse 7 is the what. And it's never a problem to deal with God's word a couple weeks in a row. So here's the what. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from right or left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Again, to me, that is the what. In other words, if you wanted a picture of what strong and courageous is and what it means when the rubber meets the road, is make sure you obey. Strength and courage in the Christian life can be defined by obeying the word. We just have to understand that when you think about the counsel of God, when you think about all the things that God says for our lives, if we really had the Word of God chiming through and being the first point of reference and living and active in our lives, I just about assure you there is not a situation you will not face that God will give some principle of how I should be. At least how I should be, if not what I should do. And so we have to understand that part of what strong and courageous has to mean is that we're obedient. Like that is oftentimes where the rubber meets the road. Oh, the Lord. Yeah. So be strong and courageous, and strong and very courageous. And then notice it here, it says, be careful to obey all the law. What I have here, I mean, not just what makes sense to us, or is easy, or comfortable, or brings good things. You know, we tend to do that, right? You're like, you think about the Word of God, you think about the things that it would foster in our lives, the parts of obedience it would call us to. There are some things that are easier than others. There are some things that are more comfortable than others. There are some things that don't have as great a consequence as others. But then there are other things that are hard. That there is a sin that so easily besets you. That there is the thing that, that's going to cause me to call me to sacrifice. That's going to call me to suffer. That's going to call me to set something aside. That's going to break away a dependence that I have on something that's not God. That's an idol that I need to lay down. See, the courage is getting, it doesn't take courage to do things that are easy. I love to come to church. It's easy to come to church. I'm going to come to church. Great. If you're one of those people, now for some people, it is strong and courageous to come to church. And so if you're here because it was strong and courageous for you to be here, good for you. You know, not lying. I really don't have a problem with lying. Lying is, I don't lie. I love when the Bible says don't lie. I'm not a liar. You're not a liar. Everyone lies. But some people struggle with lying. So sometimes the greatest courage is to say, I'm not going to lie. The greatest courage is I'm not going to drink. The greatest courage is I'm not going to be afraid. Are you willing to obey that? Are you willing to be strong and courageous there? See, because that's where it matters. Like it, so much of what, again, being strong and courageous, are you obeying the word? Are you obeying what God has said to do? You know, when you think about the general things that God has said about everyone and how it so amazingly fits into specifically what you're supposed to be or you're supposed to do, God is saying, obey that. It says, not to the right or the left, he says. Don't turn from the right or to the left. I think that points, you'll find a lot of reasons not to obey. You'll find good reasons not to obey. You'll find evil reasons not to obey. That you have to understand the road of godliness is a narrow one. It's not a lot of public applause, not a lot of public recognition. You know, sometimes it's courageous to be merciful. Sometimes it's courageous to be kind. You know, sometimes it's courageous to turn back an offense, like someone offends me and I don't offend them back. Again, all the different dynamics that come in terms of just the intentional nature of what God is calling us to, what he's calling Joshua here, what he's calling all believers, everyone that would engage with God to understand that. See, much of obedience takes faith, and faith takes courage. You have to understand that when you disobey God, you're believing something. When you obey God, you're believing something. Like when a situation comes in and you found out you have cancer, you lost your job, the house burnt down, you're confronted with, like now, you're confronted by the thing, it's courageous to believe God, right? It's courageous to say, in spite of what my eyes are telling me, in spite of what circumstances are telling me, I'm going to believe that God is going to be faithful. I'm going to believe that God is going to be true. I'm going to believe God is going to provide. I'm going to believe his person, presence, plan, provision, and power, the five P's of the cross. I'm going to believe, but that takes courage. It takes courage, particularly, again, in the presence of opposition. If everyone around you, every thought in your head was, yeah, you go, believe God, trust him for what's going on. That would be easy, but that's not reality, right? Hoo-hoo. You do have voices in your head, right? I know I say that. like maybe not audible ones, but temptation, the kingdom of darkness, your sin nature whispering, you don't want to obey. You want to do this. I've got this offer to you. So you want to go this way, right? Faith is one of the more necessary aspects of the Christian life, and faith takes courage. It takes courage to say, I'm standing on the precipice. I don't know what stands before me, but I know that God is with me, and I know that God is leading, and I know there's a next step for me to take that is good in terms of his plan, and at times, that just has to be enough. But are you going to be strong and courageous in the context of that? But so much of it is obeying the word. Too often when we look at the implications of our decisions and if the cost of God's will is too high, we punt. Oh, if I make this decision, well, that person won't like me. Or if I do this, if I follow God in this way, well, this might happen or that might happen. I think it falls into the category of so often the reference for what we're doing is how it's going to affect things. What circumstances are telling me? Well, what God is calling us to do is his word is that orientation. That the word is the thing that I'm clinging to. It's a word, it's the word of God that I'm obeying. And it's being my calling orders. It's being the thing that I do. It is interesting, the context of saying this is where he says, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You know, it's hard not to, in the context of this situation, to realize that the Jews absolutely did not do this. You know, what wasn't happening in strong and courageous when the false gods came around? And it's, let's worship the Baals. Oh, let me get a wife here. And because she's cute and pretty, and now she's got me worshiping against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What part of not strong and courageous led to that level of deterioration where, again, God says to the people of Israel, you have to get out. This is the land of promise. I mean, this is what we see. So God is bringing them to the land that he's, like, this is the sweet spot of all my will and desire for you, Jewish people. And now you have to leave. Do you know how hard that was? You realize, like, when God is sending the Jews away, he's saying, Joshua 1, dude, can we go back to Joshua 1? Can you recognize all I desired for you? But what I believe is true, it's the same for us. It's the same for us in terms of what God would call us to in terms of executing his will and being strong and courageous in that and the opposition that would come along and say, no, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't sacrifice. Don't take your minds captive. Just whatever you think, just blurt it out there. You know, courage comes in a lot. Like, we often look at courage. Let's bring up Superman again. You know, we look at strong and courageous. It's like, you know where strong and courageous happens is right up here. It's not in the guns. It's not in flying. It's what's happening in your heart. And what are you believing about what God says about you and says about others and says how you should act towards others? And now, are you going to be strong and courageous and set aside who you are? Set aside offense? See, that's strong and very courageous. Let's bow and let's pray. Father, we do believe that you are a personal God. and you care about us as individual people, but you never intend for that care to keep us in the same place. And so, Father, when it comes to the things that you would have us be, initiate, do, but both in godliness and in family, in evangelism, whatever it might be, Father, I just pray that we would be the people that engage with you, that engage with your word, that engage with you to be the strong and courageous people that God, that you desire for us to be. And then the benefits that will come to us, the benefits that will come to others are truly amazing. Families can be transformed by one person standing and saying, I am going to be strong and courageous because of who God is and what he has told me. I just pray that would be true for places that things are broken, for places that our hearts are broken, for places that our families are broken. I just pray that that influence of us clinging to you and going forward in you, I just pray that you guide us in those things. We just lift this all before you in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.